was really the trip of a lifetime. It's such a neat place to go. We had an amazing time checking out different things out there and seeing some Broadway shows and went to a Yankees game and all sorts of things. So we had a really fun time out there. While we were out there, we decided instead of flying down to Washington that we would take the train, which is a beautiful ride, getting a chance to catch up a little bit and learn a little bit of East Coast geography. I'm really bad on what I know about the East Coast. I didn't know how everything fits together, like where New York even was in relation to Washington. Washington is south of New York, in case you didn't know that. But as you're going down on the train, we took the one that has lots of different stops along the way. So you stop in Newark, New Jersey, and you stop in Philadelphia, and you stop in Baltimore, and all sorts of little towns between as you're getting down to Washington. Now, when we arrived in D.C., we were going to go out and go walking down to the White House that afternoon and kind of check out around the grounds of that. And as we're getting settled into our hotel, there was this huge storm that blew in. And man, on the East Coast, they get some storms. And it just, all of a sudden, there was, and I've never had this happen before, but on my phone, I got this emergency alert. Have you guys ever had these things pop up before? This is the first time for me. Popped up and it's like, flooding warning in your area. Just be careful. I'm like, whoa, that's kind of cool. And it went off a few more times that afternoon because it just literally dumped rain everywhere all over the place in Washington, D.C. And it was like these incredible bolts of lightning and all sorts of stuff. I stole this picture off the internet. This isn't actually what it looked like, but it's Washington, D.C. in a thunderstorm. So there you go. But it's amazing how in that moment, whenever you're in that experience of a storm, how small you can feel. I don't know if you guys have ever been out on the prairies during a huge lightning and a thunderstorm where there's hail and all this stuff going on, but that is an incredible experience, especially if you're out on the road or driving somewhere and it's all around you. It's just surrounding you and you feel so small. And it can feel a little unsettling, especially, you know, getting emergency alerts and, you know, you're hearing about flooding and, you know, all this stuff could happen. And you're like, I am so small compared to what's going on around me. Now, today we're talking, speaking from a psalm of ascent. Psalm 131 is one of several psalms that the people of God would use as they pilgrimed to the temple, which was the place where God dwelled among his people. And so these were songs that they would sing as they were walking along the road, as they were going on their way to come up to the temple of God to meet with him. They would sing these psalms. And what's fascinating about them is they really do reflect people coming from all sorts of different places in their lives when they're singing these songs. If you read through the Psalms of Ascent, they all sound pretty different from each other. They're not all just one theme as you read through them. And I think what that speaks to me, I love about it, is it recognizes when we come to meet with God, we all come from different spaces in our life. And even when we come to church today, and this is one of the reasons that at the beginning of our service, we always take time to set down the stuff from where we've come from and receive what God would have for us today. Because we recognize that every person here has stuff that's going on in your life. Outside of church, believe it or not, your pastors know that outside of this space, you have a real life. We know that. And there's stuff going on in your world. So when we come together to meet corporately with God, we want to give you space to let some of that stuff go and be able to be in his presence and receive from him what he has for you today, which might be different than what he has for the people sitting next to you or the people in front of you or behind you. God has something specific for you today. And so here's what I would like to ask you. As you walked in the door today, what is the storm that you're facing? Because let's be honest, storms aren't just the things that blow in with a whole bunch of rain and lightning. They're the things that blow into our lives from time to time, that just unsettle us, that throw us off our equilibrium. They get us unbalanced, and it can be good stuff, and it can be bad stuff. There can be things that are really exciting. There can be a transition or a move that we're about to enter into, and I know there's people here who are right now getting ready to go somewhere else for a period of time or a full-time move. That's exciting, and there's so much good about that, but it's also unsettling, and in a sense, it brings in a storm of change and uncertainty into your life. There can be difficult things, too. Receiving bad news about health or family members, going through trouble in relationships with friends, and having stuff like that just get tossed and turned in our world, and it just, again, upsets the equilibrium, and we feel like there's this storm going on in our life. So here's what I want to ask you to do today. I want to ask you to actually name the storm that either is in your life right now or the storm that you see coming on the horizon. Because lots of times we'll see something on its way before it actually hits us, which is kind of good and kind of not good. But I want you to name it. I want you to give it a name today. And here's what I'd like you to ask you to do. I'm going to get you guys to do something today. In your handout today, you will find some sticky notes. And what I want you to do is take out a sticky note, and on that, flip it over so the sticky side is up, okay, facing you. And I want you to write the name of your storm on the sticky note, okay? And once you've written the name of your storm on the sticky note, then fold it up so it sticks closed and you can't see it anymore. That make sense? So write the storm that you're facing right now or that you see on the horizon. Write that on that note. If you don't have enough, if you could put up your hands, we do have some extras. Pastor John just grabbed those. So if you don't, right up here at the front, we need some. All right. So write the name of your storm on the inside of that post-it and close it up. Okay? And hold on to that because we're going to come back to that a little bit later on in the message today. On the way back from our holidays this year, we were confronted with a storm that's on our horizon with some news of one of our family members who's been diagnosed with cancer that we just didn't see coming at all. I guess you never do. Those kind of things you never really see coming. But it certainly has thrown our lives a little bit into uncertainty and not knowing what's going to happen. Now, today, what we're going to be talking about is finding calm in the midst of the storm. How do we find a space of calm and a place where we can just be okay in the midst of a storm that might be raging all around us? Again, whether good stuff or hard stuff, doesn't matter. In the midst of that unsettledness, in the middle of that unease, how is it that we can find a sense of calm? So, we've already read it, but we're going to read again. Psalm 131, a psalm of a people coming up to meet with God. And really, this is a psalm that's written in the voice of one person who's traveling with others, right? Pilgrimages would happen with a group of people, but this is a singular voice singing out really for the whole group that they're traveling with. And so here we go, Psalm 131. And again, as we read it for a second time, just listen. Just listen for what it is maybe that God would have stand out to you today. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Was there anything that stood out to you in there? Maybe just two or three people, if just call it out, if there was something that stood out in that psalm that just really resonated with you today. Putting your hope in the Lord. Yeah. Sorry? Right. Not worrying about great matters. Yeah. I stilled and quieted my soul. Yeah. It's a powerful picture. And actually, that's one of the spaces we want to kind of park today a little bit. This central metaphor of a mom and its child. How a child is with its mother. Now, it's going back a ways, and our kids are now officially all double-digit ages. That was quite a transition to actually see your kids get to that point. It's like, where did the years go? So I had to work a little hard at trying to remember back to when we first had Noah and when he was a baby. So that was back when we were living in Regina, and I was going to school there doing seminary. And I still remember what it was like when we had young children. You kind of forget though over time, right? The memories fade. I think you block them out because some of them are really hard. But I still remember those nighttime feeding sessions where, because Tara had had a C-section for Noah, she couldn't reach in and pick him up out of the crib that we had, so I would always have to wake up and go get him and bring him to her so that she could feed him, and then I'd put him back to bed afterwards and whatever. But there was those moments where, you know, this is sort of my memory of what he looked like. This wasn't actually Noah. This is just ripped off of Google, just so you know. I didn't actually... Yeah, it was before digital cameras. Do you guys remember those days when you actually had to put the thing called film in the back of your camera to take a picture? It was weird. Anyways, so I remember days like this where it seemed like there was nothing that I could do for him other than to hand him off to Tara, right? I could hold him. I could bounce him. I could walk with him. I could lay him down. I could change him. I could walk with him in a stroller. And none of it would be good enough because what he actually wanted was his mom. There's nothing else I could do for him. Right? And even with his mom, if his mom wasn't feeding him, he's still screaming. This is kind of how it works with our kids. So maybe you've had that experience of having your own kids that way, or even just held someone else's kid, and you know the time when it's time to give him back, right? I've heard this is one of the great privileges of being a grandparent, is you get all the fun stuff, and then as soon as that starts to happen, here you go. You can have him back. You're the parents. Yeah, it's just that moment when there's nothing we can do to soothe or settle a child unless they can get what they need from their mom. And for many years, or for a few years of a kid's life, that might be the way it is. That they just, they have no way to communicate what's going on. They have no way really to say other than to scream and to cry and to call out saying, this is something I need. I don't have any other way to express it. I just feel awful right now. Please fix this. Do you ever remember what it's like to be that child? Not to hold that child, but to actually be in that space. Do you, anyone remember what it was like? That's a memory that kind of goes away. But do you ever feel like that now? Do you ever get into that place where you're going through a period of frustration or hurt and you feel like you just can't express yourself other than just to, Thanks, Dale. That was me, buddy. I just yelled into the microphone. I'm sorry. That was a little loud. Do you ever feel that? Where it feels like you just, you know there's something off and you can't describe it. You don't really know how to express it. You don't know how to fix it. And you're just, I was talking to someone last week, actually, who said they love being out in nature by themselves because one of the things you can do when you're out in nature is scream and no one cares. And you can throw rocks at things and no one cares. You can just let it out when you need to and it's okay. Sometimes we can get to that space in the midst of the storm where it's just hard to even know how to express where we're at and maybe we just feel a bit like that child. So what do we do? Because the psalmist talks about how to find a place of contentment in the midst of the storm. He's at a place where he is calm, this writer. How has he found calm in the midst of the storm? Well, he kind of sets this up, I think, in terms of a contrast within the psalm. Sort of two ways of being. And he starts off with the one way of being, which is that, I mean, we could live as a person who is proud, who is arrogant, who is constantly thinking about, you know, things that are way bigger than ourselves and way bigger than what we should really be focused on. And he says, I'm not like that. I'm not like that kind of person who's constantly reaching out and constantly striving to do something else, never satisfied with where they're at, but always looking towards something different. A person where no matter what I have, it's never enough. My eyes are not proud. I'm not haughty. I'm not arrogant. I don't think about things that are too wonderful for me. I've let that stuff go. I'm not trying to live my life for myself, by myself. It's not all about me. I'm not with the attitude that I can do everything on my own apart from God. That's the first side of the contrast, right? I'm not this kind of person who does this. Rather, back to the central image, the central metaphor, I am like a weaned child, not a child who has to cry out to his mom all the time. I'm like a child who no longer needs that from his mom. So now I can just be with my mom and not have to scream and cry out to her. I'm okay. I'm okay just to be. I am content. I'm not constantly reaching out. Instead, I am content. He hasn't got to the how yet. We're going to get to that in just a second. But Paul, in writing about this kind of contentment, made a great comment. He said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. See, he had circumstances of both. So it's not just about our circumstances, because listen to what he says next. I have learned the secret of being content in every or any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. It's not just about our circumstances. We're not just content when we have enough. What is enough anyways? How much is enough? Just a little bit more? He's found what it is to be content, no matter if he has lots or if he has hardly anything. Contentment isn't about our circumstances. It isn't about how much we have. It isn't about the storms or calm that we're going through in life in terms of what's around us. Contentment is something that we can do no matter what. So how do we do it? How do we actually choose contentment? Well, for the psalmist, I think he would say this is a choice that we make. Someone called it out, the phrase that stood out to them, I've calmed and quieted myself. Not the storm has calmed and become quiet around me. Not the weather has cleared and now it's a sunny day. I have calmed and quieted myself. There's an action there. There's a choice. I've chosen to calm myself down in this space. And really, I think a lot of the way we do that, because you might go, okay, that's fine, but how do you actually just calm yourself? Well, there can be a lot of things you can do to calm yourself. Deep breaths kind of help sometimes in a space. But a huge part of this is about where we're fixing our eyes, where we're choosing to focus. Are we focused on the circumstances that we're in and all the stuff that's going on, all the details that have to come together, all the things that are thrown off in our life, all the things that I'm ticked off about, all the things that you've messed up for me? Are we focused on those things, or are we fixing our eyes instead on the one who has us in his hand, who works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose? Are we fixed on him instead of on the stuff that's swirling around us? When we tend to turn our eyes to our circumstances, we're relying on ourselves to dig our way out. Or we're hoping someone else will fix something for us. If it's in a relationship thing, we might be thinking, man, if they would just smarten up and get some good common sense, this would all be okay. Or we might be trying to figure out our own way through it. But the psalmist has chosen to hope in the Lord, and he tells the people as much in the third verse. But before we get to that, I want to reflect a little bit on two storms that Jesus found himself in. There's, you know, the story of Jesus' life is told in the Gospels. There's, you know, lots of different things he did with his disciples, his followers. And they found themselves in a couple of different storms at different points of walking with Jesus. And the one time they were, you know, on the sea in a boat going from one place to another, and this huge storm just blew up. And instead of just the rain and the lightning, now they got to deal with all the waves and feeling like the water is going to tip the boat over and wash over them and just wipe them out, and they're going to be lost at sea. And in the midst of this storm, if you remember the story, if you've read the story, do you know what Jesus was doing? He was sleeping. The storm is swirling all around them, and he's having a nap. Are you kidding? Jesus, in the midst of the storm, was calm. He knew who had him. He knew who had called him. He knew who was watching over him as he went and walked on earth. He knew that his Father had him through all of this. Another storm that Jesus found himself in was one where the disciples had just a one of those kind of just crazy days where it was just busy, 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 people, people, people all the time. By the way, if you ever go to New York City and you don't like people, good luck. Because it's all people everywhere you go. It's just like you're constantly with people. And it doesn't matter what time of day you go out. You can go out at midnight and there will be people lined up to get food at a food cart on the street. So anyways, if you don't like people, don't go there. So the disciples had a day like they were in New York City. It was all people all the time. And they were wiped. And so they were in the boat. They were heading off somewhere else. Jesus had gone up on a mountainside to pray, so he wasn't with them. And in the middle of the night, there's a storm that's coming up, and Jesus is walking across the water towards them, which is a little freaky in itself. And so in the middle of this storm, Peter decides to get out of the boat and go walk to be with Jesus. He says, "Hey, Jesus, can I come to you?" He says, "Come on. Come on, Peter. Come on out." And he starts to walk on the water over towards Jesus. And as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on the water. But then we read that, but then he saw the wind. He looked at the circumstances around him. He looked at the storm. He took his eyes off of Jesus and started seeing what was all around him, and he started to sink. He started to fall. Until Jesus caught him and brought him back into the boat. But as you think about those stories and what it means to be in the midst of the storm, don't you find that when you get concentrating on all the stuff going on around you, it just gets you in a downward spiral? You get caught up in all the busyness and all the details and all the stuff that's happening. And oh my goodness, and then maybe we even start to feel how bad this is for us. And woe is me and poor me that I have to be going through all this stuff. And we just keep going down the spiral and down and down. It doesn't actually help. It doesn't actually get us moving in the right direction. And so instead, the psalmist encourages us to put your hope in the Lord. Fix our eyes on Him instead. Be content in who God is, in what He's doing in us, in who He's made us to be. Don't get too low in the midst of your circumstances where you get lost in all that stuff. Don't get too high thinking that we've got this all figured out and we can take care of it ourselves. But actually understand who we are in the midst of this storm because we're keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. You know, I think one of the biggest challenges to being able to keep our eyes fixed on God through these kind of times is success. When we start to have successes, we start to think that we can do it ourselves. We start to believe our own press, right? The things that people say about us that are really nice. And wow, you're an amazing person for all the things that you can do. You're just an incredible guy. You know, you can take care of these big projects, or you can, you know, you're really smart, or you're really pretty, or you're really whatever. And it's really easy to start listening to those voices and think, yeah, I got this. Man, I totally got this. It doesn't matter how bad things get. I got this. Because look what I did over there. Wow, I was really good. Really, really good. And we can start to believe our own press and think that we got this. Paul, again, who learned what it was to be content, had this to say. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you." In other words, don't think of yourself too highly or too lowly. Understand who you are. Understand who you are in relation to God. Understand that you desperately need Him. Now, if you're more into reading novels, hey, got one of those for you too. Chronicles of Narnia, one of my favorites. Aslan in Prince Caspian is talking to Prince Caspian. They're having a conversation, and this is what he says. It was written by C.S. Lewis. He's talking about who Caspian is. He says, "You come from the Lord Adam and the Lady Eve," said Aslan, "and that is both honor enough to erect the head of the poorest beggar and shame enough to bow the shoulders of the greatest emperor on earth. Be content." Don't think of yourself too highly. Don't think of yourself too lowly. Don't think you got this all figured out on your own. Don't think that your situation is so bad there is no way out. Be content. Fix your eyes on him because he can carry you through. Now, next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, about why it is that we can have such great confidence in God. And there is such an awesome psalm that we're going to be looking at next week, which I'm really excited about. But really about why it is we can truly trust in him and put our hope in him to carry us through. But that is really the big key. Choosing to be content, not getting ourselves too wound up and really high on who we are, not getting all low and beat up about who we are, not looking around at our circumstances, but instead seeing God for who he is and knowing he will carry us through. And that's why the psalmist ends with that same encouragement that I want to give to you today. Hope in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. No matter what it is you're walking through, he can be there to carry you. You can be content in the midst of the storm. So the storms, they come. Storms go. And many of us are going through some pretty difficult storms right now. And storms that we may not see how it is we're actually going to get through them. Storms that we can't see the end of right now. But what I want to encourage you to do today, whether you've just come through a storm, whether you're right in the midst of it right now, or whether you see it coming and it's just on the horizon, in the midst of that, choose to hope in the Lord. And we want to do that actually practically, to calm ourselves, to quiet ourselves, to not just let our mind be consumed with this, but to fix our eyes on Jesus. And what I want to do to practically do that is have you take that sticky note that you wrote your storm in at the start of the message, okay? Have that back out. And on the outside of that sticky note now, because you folded your storm onto the inside, right? Write, hope in the Lord. You're choosing in doing this to actually hope in the Lord for this particular storm. This isn't just sort of a, yeah, I trust God for my life and he'll take care of me. This is saying in this space, with this thing that's going on, with this brokenness, with this hurt, with this thing that I can't control, with this thing that got thrown on me, I will choose to trust God. With this, I'm going to choose to hope in the Lord in this space in my life. So write hope in the Lord on that. And we're going to do something with that in just a minute, okay? But as you choose to hope in the Lord, I just thought it would be good to reflect on the fact today to remember again that God is faithful. When you choose to put your hope in him, he will not fail us. He will carry us. He will help to calm us. He will meet us in the midst of the storm. One of the ways we know that is by the stories that we share together to hear about how God has been at work. And one of the great places we heard some stories was last week at our lake service when we had a bunch of people get baptized. And we always have people getting baptized share their testimony, their story of how it is that God has been at work in their life. And we heard such amazing stories last week. We had Pastor Dave Peters pray over all the baptismal candidates, which was amazing, a word of blessing for each one of them. And then as each one of them, before they were baptized, each got to share their story of how God had been at work in them. And it was so great because the stories they were telling were so much the same in terms of God's faithfulness and yet so different in terms of their experience with him and how it was that he had shown up to them. God is faithful and he will meet you in the midst of your particular storm. So choose to hope in him. Choose to hope in him. This is not just a passive thing where, you know, I was kind of just in the midst of this thing and God just did this for me. This is a choice to say, I will put my trust in him for this. And so here's what we're going to do. In order to kind of say, yes, God, I will choose to trust you. Sometimes we just need to do something, not just kind of think it, but actually do something. So we're going to give you a chance to do something today. As we stand to sing the first song in our response time, I'm going to invite you to come and put your sticky note paper that you've written hope in the Lord on the front of, have your storm sealed inside, and I'm going to invite you to come and put it in this dish right here. Now, we've talked about these things in the Q&A a couple weeks ago. Pastor Don talked about these. Can anyone tell me what this represents? Anyone know? Anyone remember what this thing is? Yeah, back there. What is this one? Good guess, but actually not. It isn't. I always thought this was a... Wouldn't this be a great wine glass? Just saying. Sorry. Anyone know what this thing is? This represents the fact that Jesus is our sanctifier. He is the one that works out stuff in our life to get the sin out of us and bring holiness into us over time. It's a progressive experience in the life of a believer. And this is something that he is doing in us. So why do you put him in this bowl today? Because a lot of times the storms are a way that we go through a purifying process in our life. As we actually learn to trust God in a bigger way, he can use that to purify us and bring about holiness in our lives. So you guys can bring those up, put them in here as a statement that you will trust in God. And also maybe for the hope that whatever he's doing right now in the midst of the storm is going to bring you closer to him. All right? So this is just up here on the table with the other symbols representing Jesus as our Savior, our Healer, and our coming King. And bring that up as we sing. Now, the song we're going to sing to begin our response time is an incredible one, I think, to meet us in the storm. It is the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." So no matter what it is we're going through, may we proclaim that today. That in the midst of the storm, because God is good, because I place my hope in him, it is well with my soul.